Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/cardcalculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Welcome to Switched on Pop. I'm musicologist Nate Sloan.
And I'm songwriter Charlie Harding.
And we are so thrilled to be here live at On Air Fest in Brooklyn. Brooklyn, make some noise! What a thrill. This is our first live show in approximately 5 years. So how exciting to be here with you all. And the good people at On Air Fest have given us a task, and that is to answer some musical mysteries. The things that are scratching your brain that perhaps we can shed some light on. And we actually have a mystery that is going to be posed to us from Helen Zaltzman of the Illusionist podcast, who's here in the audience.
Hi. Thank you. Hi, Nate. Hi, Charlie. So I've been wondering, you know, that we're very used to spawn in music videos where there's a loving shot of a cell phone or a car for too long. But is there a spawn in song lyrics? Because I was listening to Texas Hold'em by Beyonce, and I thought, does she really have strong feelings about Lexus in particular as a car? Is it the most scannable car compared to, like, Volkswagen? What? Or did they pay her to write a lyric about Lexus?
I have looked into this question for you. Is there a spawn in popular music?
Spawn. What is spawn?
Sponsored content.
Sponsored content.
Yeah, okay. All right, let's listen to Beyonce.
This ain't Texas. Ooh. Ain't no hold'em. Hey. So lay your cards down, 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 down. So park your Lexus. Ooh. And throw your keys up. Hey. Stick around, round, round, round.
All right, so Texas Lexus. We recently broke down this song on our show. We know that Beyonce has the first number one country single as a female black performer. Historical moment. Fantastic song. And she's making really black country music. This is a blues. It highlights the roots of the African banjo. Mm-hmm. It's a big historical accomplishment. But it also features this line about a Lexus. Do we trust that Beyonce would drive a Lexus? I mean, maybe Beyonce Bugatti? I want to start with just getting a sense of the room. Please vote. If you believe this is a moment of sponsored content, will you please raise your hand? Okay, and if you believe it's an organic moment, just written into the song, please raise your hand. Oh, okay, interesting. All right, so what I'm going to
do... For the people listening at home,
yeah.
the vast majority of people thought it was an organic moment.
Yeah, I'll give it 70-30.
That sounds right.
All right. So I'm going to make the case for and against sponsored content in Beyonce's Texas Hold'em. So the first thing I did is I did the journalistic thing. I reached out to the executives at the labels. They did not email me back. I tried the three co-writers. I messaged them on Instagram. Nothing. But let's make a case for why this ought to be product placement. First of all, we are collectively conditioned to assume that sponsored content is everywhere. It's in film and television. Even the voice of the most trusted man in Hollywood is not afraid of some product placement in his films.
Welcome.
I must have drank me about 15 Dr. Peppers.
Wilson! Wilson!
Of course, that is the voice of Tom Hanks. You've got Mail, Forrest Gump, and Castaway, all featuring great brand integrations. You know, if you're watching television today, the Wall Street Journal reported that Ted Lasso, in one episode, had 36 Apple placements in it. It's an Apple TV show. We just expect product placement to be everywhere. Naturally, following film and television, we'd expect that it would enter into the world of music videos. You may not know that actually one of the first music videos to have sponsored content was Smells Like Teen Spirit, itself a song named after a popular deodorant brand, features at the very beginning of the music video a Converse shoe. I don't know how you feel about that. The song, which is supposed to be the salve to the emptiness of consumerism, actually has a moment of product placement, which was unusual because MTV had very strict product placement rules. They didn't want it to be too overt. When MTV decides that they're going to stop running as many music videos and pivot away from video. As music videos went online and we're kind of in like thinking like a post-Napster era, musicians are struggling, looking for extra revenue. Product placements just appear everywhere, right? Case in point, you could see a Beats Wi-Fi speaker in songs like Turn My Swag On by Soulja Boy, Britney Spears' Work Bitch, and Robin Thicke's Blurred Lines. You might not have been paying attention, but there was a very prominent Bluetooth speaker featured in all of these videos. And there's a reason that this stuff works, that ad agencies want in into the music video side of it.
The clothes that were being worn in music videos, fans of music would wear all the time. And they would dress like the music video. The music video was almost like a mannequin.
That's Steve Stout. He's a record executive who came up in the business working with Will Smith, Mariah Carey, and Nas. He built a marketing agency called Translation to translate the culture of hip-hop to Fortune 500 companies. And Steve told me that product placement in music videos specifically started in the 80s.
The tipping point for this entire subject is Run DMC's song, My Adidas.
Me and DMC, My Adidas, standing.
Run DMC writes Adidas into their song, My Adidas. It's an organic moment. We're here in 1986. But it did definitely help the brand. In the 80s, the German shoe manufacturer had no idea why their products were flying off the shelf of Northeast stores. And so in 1986 at Madison Square Garden,
an Adidas executive flew across the world the night of this Run DMC performance. And when he sang the song, My Adidas, he held his Adidas in the air. And 18,000 kids how theirs in the air. And this is the moment I believe that it was super clear that music, specifically hip-hop music, and product placement, that idea was cemented.
And so Run DMC, organic placement, then gets a $1.5 million sponsorship from Adidas in the same year. Huh. Maybe it's kind of the tail wagging the dog, looking for the sponsorship when you write your song. And this has happened countless times. I think there's a reason why it is safe to assume there could be product placement in songs. I mean, take, for example, same story with Busta Rhymes, Pass the Courvoisier, Part 2. He said that it was an artistic choice, which happened to also double the sales of the Spirit that year. And he also received a brand deal from the parent company of Courvoisier. Taylor Swift's 1989 album, if you remember the cover, has a Polaroid picture featured prominently in it. And it's also in one of her lyrics on that album. Sorry, Polaroid. Taylor Swift got scooped up by Fujifilm, their competitor, in a brand placement not long afterwards.
So I'm sorry, yeah. The apogee of Polaroids appearing in pop music is clearly Hey Ya by Andre 3000.
I just shake it like a Polaroid picture.
I don't want to interrupt your flow, but
shake it like a Polaroid picture.
I don't know if he got sponsored.
I do think it helped. I recall that it helped the sagging sales of Polaroid at the
Interesting.
Time.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. All right. We did write a book chapter on this, but
yeah,
I don't recall.
I vaguely remember it.
Yeah. Then there's the case of Jason Aldean. His song Take a Little Ride had an ode to his favorite Texas beer, Shinerbach.
Swing by the quick stop, grab a little Shinerbach, then ease on out your way.
And as reported in a great story by the late music podcast Pitch, Aldean, he later received a sponsorship from Coors and changed the lyric of the song afterwards.
Swing by the quick stop, grab a couple rocky tops, then ease on out your way.
I mean, that's slick. That's smooth.
Yeah, I mean, talk about not having allegiance to Texas. That can't go over well.
I'm very thirsty all of a sudden.
All of these songs are kind of after the facts, right? But if you want a song with a prepaid sponsorship, you need to go back to Steve Stout, the music executive we heard from earlier. Steve is behind two of the biggest premeditated sponsored material moments in music history. First, there's the famous McDonald's jingle. 20,000 Hertz, the podcast, did a really great episode about this jingle. I'm loving it. And Steve's Stout's agency had a hand in putting that out into culture. The jingle was first released as a song originally with Justin Timberlake and the Neptunes. To bring it to life, they released I'm Lovin' It, the song, weeks before the TV ad campaign came out.
I'm loving it. I'm loving it.
Have you heard this?
No.
Yeah.
I don't think I need to again.
The idea was to let the music marinate in culture to give it more legitimacy to the ad.
Yeah.
But
as much as that line worked as a jingle, it didn't work as a song.
So the jingle, which we obviously all know, is way more popular than the song. That song didn't even chart in the U.S. So the idea of this campaign was not quite a success.
The Justin Timberlake song was the right idea. It didn't connect. I said, let me do this same idea again, and let me go make a better song to lean more into the song and less into the jingle.
So Steve took another shot. Wrigley Gum hired Steve's agency to rewrite all their jingles, which for Steve was a perfect musical brand partnership.
You can almost use chewing gum like a metronome.
You know, when you're chewing, there's almost like a beat to it. They had Neo redo Big Red.
Kiss a Little Longer, Love a Little Longer, something with Big Red.
You know that one. And Julianne Hough did Juicy Fruit.
Juicy Fruit is gonna move ya. Juicy Fruit will get right through ya.
But Stout's magnum opus was for Double Mint Gum. Stout brought in burgeoning R&B star Chris Brown. This is before the revelations about domestic violence against Rihanna. He was hired to write a jingle.
For Double Mint. I said, the way we're going to launch this campaign is we're going to launch this thing as a full-length song. And rather than product placing the word Double Mint, we're going to product place the tagline, double your pleasure, double your fun.
So when people hear this song, they don't hear the brand, they hear the slogan and subconsciously associate Double Mint. That's how the song Forever entered the world.
And with Chris Brown, we didn't call it I'm Loving It. We called it Forever, right? I said, we're going to make this thing, it's going to live authentically within the construct of a song. And we're not going to name it after the thing. And it was a home run.
The song was released weeks before the ad campaign. So same idea with the McDonald's thing. And it was a number one top 40 radio hit. When the ad dropped later to get more exposure to the song, Steve actually would buy up radio slots, ad time, and play first half of Forever as if it was a natural, organic moment of you're just hearing a song on the radio, and then blend it into the Wrigley ad. But when the public found out about this bait and switch, they weren't always pleased.
People were offended. They were like, how did you do that? Why would you do that? I felt like I did something wrong because people were so taken back. And I honestly thought, look, that's marketing.
You know, I asked Steve if anyone had ever replicated this success. Like, you would think that if there's this Chris Brown case, so there must be many more. And basically, nobody has done it since. Though there are artists that have definitely tried in promoting their own brands. We hear this all the time. Case in point, Pitbull's Reign Over Me shamelessly promotes his vodka company, Voli.
Billy's a new million, Voli's a new vodka, 40's a new 30, and baby, you a rock.
Billy's the new Millie, Voli's the new vodka, 40's the new 30. I agree with the last one of those. Jay-Z, Beyonce's husband, made a billboard for his own brands in All I Need. Let's run it down. Nike Airs, he has a sponsorship with his fashion company, Rock Aware, with Nike. My Bucket Hat, he was into bucket hats way before Gen Z. He name checks Rock Aware and as well as his vodka company in one chorus. So many have tried this. So we've got Jay-Z, but what about Beyonce? First of all, her music videos are full of product placement. She's had Jaguars, Rolls Royces, liquor brands in various music videos. Probably most over the top was her collaboration with Lady Gaga on Telephone. They had Diet Coke, Beats, Chevy, Hostess Honey Buns, Miracle Whip, and Wonder Bread were all sponsors.
You've been a very bad girl, Gaga.
The final song on Beyonce's last album, Renaissance, the song Summer Renaissance, is basically an ad for couture brands. Versace, Bottega, Prada, Balenciaga, Vuitton, Dior, Givenchy, collect your coins, Beyonce, so elegant and most of these brands she's had a relationship with. They've dressed her at various events, the Met Gala and so on. Her song Formation, of course, also name drops Red Lobster. That did increase sales of Red Lobster by 33%, according to Billboard. The video for that song also was a part of a Tiffany & Co. ad campaign. So Beyoncé and her company, Parkwood Entertainment, are hardly allergic to spawn brand integrations. As for Texas Hold'em...
This ain't Texas. Ooh. Ain't no hold'em. Hey. So lay your cards down, 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 down. So park your Lexus.
Texas, Lexus, to get to your question, Helen. The song literally launched as part of a Verizon ad at the end of the Super Bowl.
Woo! Broke the internet again!
Did you post this?
No. Well, not on purpose.
Well, it's coming in hot.
Ah, it's Verizon 5G. The network is crazy powerful. I bet you can't break that.
I bet I can.
Okay, they ready. Drop the new music.
And they dropped those songs immediately after that, which was the most exciting part of the Super Bowl for me.
Not the Usher halftime show?
It was fun.
Whoa, okay. It's a podcast for another day.
Furthermore, Lexus, I'm just trying to think about, like, why would Lexus want to get in on this? Lexus actually had an ad campaign in 2019 called The New Renaissance.
A new renaissance is upon us. Introducing the first ever Lexus UX, crafted for a new era of progress. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer.
So it makes sense that they would want to sponsor the Renaissance Tour, which they did. If you went to the Renaissance Tour, there were Lexuses, a Lexus experience, if you will, that you could partake in. Yeah, we saw some Lexuses. Confirmed.
I think it's Lexi.
Lexi, also. Yeah. The Lexus campaign, they had on-site Lexus there, and they also worked with TikTokers to promote this. TikTokers with millions of followers, they took Lexus to the Renaissance Tour.
We're going to the Renaissance Tour. My best friend's meeting me here, and we're going with Lexus, so we're going to have a full Lexus experience. I'm so excited.
This has to be SpawnCon, right? Like, I feel like this podcast is starting to sound like a Lexus ad. And I mean, given the state of our business, that's totally fine. Lexus, we're available.
We also have a streetwear line coming out. And a few scents that will be, you can sample.
I mean, frankly, I would also just say that if this was going to happen at any point in music history, it makes sense that this would happen now. Like, music video SpawnCon picked up during the age of pirating when the music industry was just in huge decline. We all know that streaming is paying pennies on the dollar to musicians, most of it being captured by labels. So this is the time that you would try to find some new lines of revenue. We remember during the pandemic, every musician tried to launch an NFT. Part of that was because NFTs weren't written into their contracts. They would get all of the revenue. It would make sense that you could go, you know, maybe I can put a brand in my song and I get all of that sponsorship. My label's not going to capture any of that. So that it makes sense to me. So this is the case for SpawnCon, the case against Spawn in Texas Hold'em. Here's the thing. In all of my research, I could only find two instances of a brand or an artist sort of acknowledging, oh yeah, we've really done this. And they didn't really pan out. In 2002, Sony Records was caught distributing a memo saying that their imprint Epic Records would do a pay-to-play product placement in the act B2K. Any of their songs that had a product placement, they were like, yeah, we're open to this. And it was a media hullabaloo for them. In 2005, McDonald's reportedly said that they would pay anywhere from $1 to $5 to artists that had put a Big Mac or other product in their song, as long as McDonald's got final say over the lyrics. But, you know, B2K's career went about as cold as a fresh off the grill Big Mac. And this strategy was I'm sorry. The strategy was,
it's okay.
Yeah. 40 is the new 30.
So, Charlie.
Yeah.
Why do you think that people are fine with seeing Apple products in a TV show, but get incensed when they hear a product mentioned in a song? What's that about?
Do you think they're incensed? I don't know. I feel like we hear it all the time. I think we're just used to it. I think the question is whether or not people are getting paid to do it.
Well, I sense that there's more backlash when people hear it in a song. But maybe maybe you're right. Maybe it is so it's just so subtle that we don't always.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's the case of it. Certainly, we have this case of the tail wagging the dog.
Yeah.
Or people just looking for, you know, sort of announcing, I am available, as I just did to Lexus. but there is, I think the real case of why this may not be happening is that it's frankly hard to do. I wanted to get another perspective on this, and I called up another music business veteran, Lucas Keller. He's been on the show before. He runs Milk and Honey. It's one of the biggest songwriter and producer management companies. And he says that it's just kind of like logistically way too difficult to pull this off.
It's just incredibly hard to put together. That's why I don't think anyone will do it. You know, you have to have writers who are going to deliver it to an artist. And you can't really like say when you're writing that song that it's going to be a single because the song may be no good.
You know, I know professional songwriters that write 200 to 300 songs a year. It's not an exaggeration. That's really what it takes. And their hope is to get like 10% of those cut onto records. And hopefully one or two of those are a radio hit and then you're doing fine. Hit songs are not easy to make. So like, why would you try to integrate your brand at the earliest stage? I mean, it's possible you could put it in after the fact. New York Times has reported that social media platforms are doing after the fact AI product placements now. So maybe you could like scrub Lexus into the song after it's already a hit, kind of like the Jason Aldean thing that we heard earlier. But you know, there's also the issue of just like songwriter integrity, right? Like,
what? Oh, yeah.
But, to your question, why do we get incensed? I mean, songwriters want to write timeless songs, like about timeless timepieces, for example.
Yeah.
No, but for real, there is legitimate concern that, you know, a song is forever, but a brand's reputation is not necessarily.
There are all these things dropped in songs that don't exist anymore. If you were rapping about your pager in the 90s, that didn't, your Motorola pager, that didn't age too well.
Counterpoint, Lucas, Beyonce is Crazy in Love. That's got me hoping you'll page me right now. But he has a good point. You know, brands' reputations can suffer, which could cause, a decline in your art. A great example would be the timeless classic Summer Girls by LFO. I like girls that wear Abercrombie and Fitch. I'd take her if I had one wish. That shameless plug of Abercrombie & Fitch was denied by the brand, who said they had nothing to do with it. But in the 2022 Netflix doc, White Hot, The Rise and Fall of Abercrombie & Fitch, it was revealed that the company used sexist and racist employee profiling practices, a real bummer to that summer hit. So it makes sense, you know, if you're like Beyonce, maybe it makes sense to just shout out couture brands who have a legacy heritage brand that you can count on to stick around. And Red Lobster, of course. And, you know, things could also go sour for you in doing this because you could be taken to court. You might remember the song Barbie Girl by Aqua. Mattel originally tried to sue Aqua over the use of the song. Of course, they later embraced that and we all saw the movie and everything's chill now. So what do I think about Texas Hold'em? I've been holding on to something. I got a text from one of the songwriters.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just in time for this show. And I want you to read it for me.
Okay, this is exciting.
Question was, specifically, I'd like to know if the Lexus line in Texas Hold'em was an organic moment or a sponsored moment. Thanks.
Just rhymed. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much.
I just want to point out, that is not a denial. These people are NDA'd out to the Andromeda Galaxy. So with that, I would like to take another vote. If you believe this is a sponsored moment, that Lexus has paid Beyonce ahead of time, please raise your hand. Ooh, I think I've converted.
There's more
a few, yeah.
people and, than and, there and, were at the beginning.
And if you do not believe, this is an organic moment. Yeah, this is just an organic moment. All right, about the same as before. I've converted a few folks or some people held back last time, but I think it's about 60-40. Helen, what are you feeling?
Charlie, I think you did a very thorough job. It was very interesting. It was also more upsetting than I was expecting because I do remember that Justin Timberlake song, and now I will have to exorcise it from my brain again. I did wonder if Beyonce saying all the Givenchy and Balenciaga things was referenced to, you know, the ball culture, and they had the houses or like House of Givenchy.
Yes, absolutely.
Good point.
Music scholar, you're welcome to join the podcast anytime you'd like.
Thank you.
We did want to imagine for you if this were an extremely sponsored moment, if there were Spawn everywhere in the song. And so I've asked Nate to bring out the smallest piano in the world.
Okay. Let me turn it on. All right, Lord forgive me for what I'm about to do. Okay, so these are some lyrics that I'm going to sing for you now. that Charlie wrote. All right, here we go. This ain't Starbucks, ain't no Goldman. So swipe your card down, 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 down. Park your Lexus and eat your Reese's. Ride a Greyhound, hound, hound, hound. And I'll be glammed if I go to Sephora with you. Come call in an Uber up to JetBlue. It's a real dune buggy serving real royal crown. Don't be a Grinch, come take it down to Florida now. Woo!
Sponsored by the Florida Tourism Board.
That was mean. I'm persuaded by the organic argument just because what else rhymes with Texas? I mean, I was trying to run through some different options, you know, like
it also would have been more organic. She could have like found a way to go to like Alamo rent a car. I feel like the Texas Alamo. I mean, they're not a rhyme, but
I don't know if Alamo quite has the clout of
it's of like, it's not a Hertz brand.
Yeah.
Okay.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/cardcalculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Okay, well, that was fascinating. Okay. We have one more musical mystery for you all. And this one comes courtesy of our listener, Phil.
Big Nate. It's Phil Pappas.
Thanks, Phil.
Dude, I've been watching tons of videos of Terrence Howard explaining harmonic frequencies and DNA resequencing and tightening to 432 hertz. I have no idea what is going on, but I can't stop watching. I need to know if E is actually yellow and something else is chartreuse. Hope all is well. See ya.
All right, thanks, Phil. So I'm just curious, is anyone familiar with this, what Phil is talking about? Have you encountered, what's that?
Synesthesia?
No, this is something even more opaque and potentially sinister than synesthesia, but thank you for that. So maybe you've seen a video of Terrence Howard, the actor. You may recognize him from roles in Empire, Iron Man, Hustle and Flow. He's doing these talks where he's talking about these kind of abstruse theories about music. We can hear a clip of one of these that Phil is talking about from a 2013 appearance on The Breakfast Club.
Any album? You doing another album or you done with the album?
Well, no. I'm working on some new music now, mm-hmm. but we've got to change our understanding of music. 440 is wrong mm-hmm. as a key tone. Mm-hmm. We need to get to 432. Mm-hmm. Y'all understand that later.
Okay.
Yeah, and we just said, mm-hmm.
I just said, I had no idea what he's talking about. Yeah, hopefully that your kids would be like,
no,
Dad.
Jimi Hendrix tuned his guitar to 432 for a reason.
Okay.
And the Beatles made that adjustment after they went to India mm-hmm. and did all their music in 432 instead of 440. Look it up.
Okay. All got right. it.
Terrence Howard, ladies and gentlemen, it's the Breakfast Club on Power 105.1.
That's bogus. I love that the host of the show are like, okay, bye. Okay, so there's one part of this. He's talking about 432 as opposed to 440 hertz as a way to tune music. And then the other part of what Phil was talking about, music sort of expressing different colors, different periodic elements, that's from a 2018 talk he did. Let's hear that.
Well, guess what hydrogen sounds like? It's a key of E. Guess what? And it's the color yellow. That's what proper physics gets you to. Oxygen is a chartreuse, and it's the key of F over F sharp.
Okay.
E is definitely green.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree. F over F sharp, literally no idea what that means. Okay, so the second part of this keys being colors and elements, I got nothing. I literally have nothing to say about that. But the first part, the idea that music should be tuned to 432 hertz as opposed to 440, Let's dive into that a little bit, shall we?
Sure.
Okay, so first of all, what are we talking about here?
Like when you have a tuning fork and you hit the tuning fork and it goes, woo.
Yeah.
That's it, 440 hertz, and it's the, I'm guessing, some international standard so that we all tune to the same thing so that an orchestra can play in tune kind of thing.
Right, and what is hertz, Charlie?
The number of times that a wave oscillates per second.
Holy, look at this guy. What a pro. He is so smart. Mom, can you stop filming me? It's very distracting. I am flattered, though. Charlie just expressed this so succinctly. Like, there is, since 1939, when there was an international agreement made to tune music to the same hertz rate of 440, it's very comforting because you can go from here in Brooklyn and play an A, and then go to Beijing and play an A, and it'll sound the same. That's very handy, I think, in terms of, you know, not having to retune an entire piano to fit with the rest of an orchestra, for instance. But there are corners of the internet that are very suspicious of this tuning to 440. I was recently fed a post on my Instagram Explore page about this. Here's what it said. Frequency 432 hertz is known as the beat of the earth, has substantial healing benefits, and ancient Egyptian and Greek instruments were discovered tuned to 432 hertz. However,
no. They're not still in tune.
However, since all music has been tuned to 440 hertz, this frequency has no scientific relationship with our universe and actually causes the brain to become agitated. The Nazis in World War II used this frequency against their enemies to make them feel and think a certain way. You knew that was coming.
Yeah. So all of our societal anxieties, ills, are due to this frequency.
Just to be clear, there is none of that is true. Okay, thanks. See you. Bye. Credits. Switch on Pop is brought to you.
He is a PhD of musicology, so we can trust him.
Yeah. No, I did look into this. There is no basis. The Nazis were not involved. There's no basis for 432 being more natural or more resonant with the earth or, you know, our bodies and minds.
You're going to get so much hate mail.
And yet, this theory persists, and I feel like we do need to give it some credence, okay? So let's listen to some of this 432 music together, and we can form, as they say, as Terrence Howard told us, look it up, right?
Do your own research.
Let's do our own research, exactly. Let's do our own research.
Very irresponsible.
Let's do our own research. Okay, here's what 440 hertz sounds like. Let's just like hear a sine wave of that. I mean, audio doesn't get more thrilling than this. This is riveting stuff. Okay, 432 hertz, Charlie.
My ears are sagging a little bit more.
I mean, we are talking about such a small... It's not even the distance between two adjacent notes on a piano. It's smaller than that. It's like 30 cents or something. It's a very small difference. A lot of music in 432 that you'll encounter is maybe what you'd expect. It's very spacey, tranquil music for meditating, for relaxing. Here's an example from a YouTube playlist that has a couple million views. Let's hear a little bit of this, Charles.
Oh, that's nice.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I do feel relaxed already.
Yeah. The bass is deep. I can feel it resonating.
Yeah.
Yeah, in my body.
This goes on for about 3 hours. And we're going to listen to all of it.
Welcome to Switched On Pop, the sound healing session.
Oh, sorry. Okay, so this is one corner of the 432 world, this sort of hypnotic, relaxing music specifically composed within this key. Let's pause that because I'm getting very sleepy. And then there's another world, which is in some ways even more interesting, and that's the world of converting existing music that was originally recorded in the key of 440 hertz and spitting it out in this 432 hertz.
Tuning it down a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. Did I say that right?
I think so.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Let's listen to a few examples of these, and again, we can do our own research. We can judge for ourselves. I picked just a few kind of random examples. But you can go, there are apps for this. You can get an app that will instantly convert your favorite songs to 432. You can go online and find 432 versions of probably most of your favorite songs. Let's listen to Beethoven's Moonlight Sonata and in the original 440 hertz. Still slaps. And here's 432 hertz.
Any problems with this? First of all, I was really hoping you're gonna like actually tune the piano down and do all the hard labor of like fixing the instruments. What has happened here is
that
someone's literally just taken an original recording. It sounds to me slowed it down and brought the pitch down.
Yes,
and added a bunch of ambient reverb to make it feel like it's more healing. That's what I'm hearing.
I yes, and.
That's what else can I say?
Well, you're avoiding the question, Charlie. Did you feel your spirit lifted, your consciousness unchained, your physical maladies exercised, and your DNA tightening?
No, I just felt like I was like, it was like spa music. So yeah, I don't know.
We've gone from spawn music to spa music.
Spas.
Okay, let's do another one. I know you like this band, The Beatles. 440 hertz. Let's hear it.
Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun.
432.
Oh.
Here comes the sun. It's all right.
Wait, hold on. What just happened there? Like, did they just like slow the vinyl down to pitch it down a little bit? That didn't sound like George Harrison. That sounded like a terrible cover.
Yeah, well, I suppose I'm just grabbing these from YouTube, so I suppose there's different methods being used.
You're really doing your own research here.
To create it. Well, this is what people are listening to, Charlie. Okay. I'm not going to deny them. They're the privilege of listening to these 432 songs. So
that was a desecration of a very important historical record.
Right. I understand what you're saying. I knew you were going to say this too. Charlie's very concerned with the technological process of creating these 432 remixes and how it degrades the original audio, and I totally respect that. But we got to listen to one more. Next example.
This ain't Texas. Ain't no holding.
440.
They are cards down, 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 down.
And 432.
Pocket Lexus. Your keys up.
Hey.
Stick around, round, 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 round.
Stick around.
And I'll be damned if I can't slow dance.
That was subtle.
You know, that was subtle. That was just a subtle down pitching. Yeah. Makes the voice a little huskier.
Yeah, a little huskier.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and this has been done a lot of artists historically have often up-pitched their vocals, like the Beach Boys would use Tape technology to speed up their voices a little bit, make it a little brighter. So there's an artistic reason why you might want to do this, but I don't know that it's doing anything to resonate with my DNA.
So it does, yeah. So I love that. It does change the sound of these recordings, and it introduces new textures and flavors into them.
Right.
But is it healing? Is it more natural?
No.
So there's someone I wanted to ask about this. That's our friend Samer Gadri. He's a sound healer. He sets up gongs and prayer bowls and harmoniums, and he creates these incredible immersive audio experiences. And I was like, if there's anyone I know who's going to be on board with this 432 hertz thing, it's him. So I called him, and he said, hey, I'm in Bangkok. I'm researching gongs at a temple here. But he was kind enough to talk to me about this, okay. And this is what he said.
Do you really think that all the music that we've grown up on and been influenced by and love is wrong or is harmful or, you know, bringing you down? Like, yeah. Can you really make that statement with confidence and be like, yeah, I actually don't like all the music that I grew up on? I think that we're really grasping for things we have no idea about with this whole 42 thing. You're going to look at a valley and be like, I like the frequency of those hills, but not those. Like, that's what it's starting to do, man. I think people are really losing their minds to this whole thing. And I like it in the sense that they want to find something good for themselves. I like that. But I don't think you have to be exclusive and say that some number is proper and then some other number is not. I think that's ridiculous.
So I'm inclined to agree with him. And yet, at the end of this study, exploration, discussion, whatever we want to call it, I found myself more drawn to this idea of 432 music than I expected to.
What?
Charlie, can you play me out with another 432 playlist, please? Okay, perfect. So let me just read you some of the comments on this 432 Hertz YouTube playlist, okay? The reason you are listening to this is to focus and concentrate. That shows your dedication and desire to improve. Congratulations. Stay motivated. If you make a start, you are halfway done. Don't give up. We believe in you. Another one. If you're reading this, remember you are never too old to set another goal or to dream another dream. Hey, you. Yes, you, reading this. Everything is going to be okay. Have faith, trust, and believe. Stay strong. You got this. Beautiful human.
Wow.
Okay. I thought that was very sweet. That's actually some of the nicest YouTube comments you'll ever encounter.
I for one would listen to what just happened for my own inner peace.
Maybe that's our sponsored content. And then it's just a little note brought to you by Lexus. Yeah. The most relaxing ride you'll have. So at the end of this, I'm like, I don't buy any of this, and yet I am moved by it. Mm. I might not listen to Moonlight Sonata in 432, but I might rock one of these 432 Hertz deep listening playlists and read some positive YouTube comments. And that, you know, that would change my day around.
I love it. I did, during the pandemic, spend hours programming synthesizers to do that, to create non-repeating meditation music. So I feel like I need to send that to you as a gift.
All right. Well, next year we'll have our sponsored Spawn Spa.
Switched on to Pop Spawn Spa.
We'll work out the kinks in the interim period. Thank you to the incredible audience here at On Air Fest Brooklyn.
Thank you all. Switched On Pop is produced by Rihanna Cruz, Nate Sloan, and me, Charlie Harding. We're edited by Art Chung, engineered by Brandon McFarland, illustrations by Ara Scottlieb, and community management by Abby Barr. Ashok Kerwa is our executive producer, a member of the Vox Media Podcast Network, and a production of Vulture, which is part of New York Magazine. You can subscribe to New York Mag at newyorkmag.com/pod. Thank you so much to the folks at On Air for having us. We had an absolute blast, and thank you to the entire audience.
You can find more episodes of the show anywhere you get podcasts, as well as our website, switchedonpop.com. And while you're there, put your email address into a little box that you'll find on the homepage, and then you'll get a newsletter about once a week that has further insights into the world of pop music and a playlist of what our team is listening to. It's really fun, and it's not gonna bother you. You're not gonna see it in your inbox and be like, oh, it's so annoying, they're emailing me again. It's just once a week. It's pretty benign, and dare I say, even edifying and entertaining.
We'll be back with an extra episode on Friday, live from South by Southwest, and then back to our regular schedule on Tuesday. Until then, thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.
Support for this show comes from Art Beats and Lyrics, a new documentary from Vox Creative, along with Jack Daniel's Tennessee Honey and Colt Creative. Directed by Bill Horace, Art Beats and Lyrics showcases how a humble art show has grown into a cultural phenomenon. The film unveils the origin stories of the event's founder, Jabari Graham, and its curator, Dwayne W. Wright, exploring how Atlanta has shaped their individual past while also revealing their distinct roles within Art Beats and Lyrics. The documentary follows Jabari W. and several of this year's feature artists as they gear up for ABNL's 20th anniversary tour, captivating thousands of fans at each and every show. Stream Art, Beats, and Lyrics now on Hulu.
Please drink responsibly. Whiskey Specialty, 35% alcohol by volume, Jack Daniel's Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee. Jack Daniel's and Tennessee Honey are registered trademarks. 2024 Jack Daniel's, all rights reserved.